Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Hey girl, a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
When did this start?
That's a radio voice.
I don't know. This lady.
All right. Richie is the most picky co-host.
I am incredibly picky.
Every single one of our episodes starts with him complaining about the intro. So I have
I like your energy.
How about you go to?
Don't be a bitch. Now,
no,
come on.
I want you to do it.
No, because I can't. I'm very
chick fragile. Fight right here.
No,
one
I'm,
minute
I'm,
in.
No, I'm very. What's the word I'm looking for? Where. We've always done it this way. We have to do it this way. And
I know. One time,
not he, anal, but
he busted my.
Hey,
balls.
Anal. Hey, this is getting racy already.
Yes.
Four
yes.
men locked
All
in
right.
a booth.
Yeah.
First subject, anal. Hey, I got a story about that one.
Yeah. All right, let's start. Go ahead.
Welcome to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. I'm your host, Mark Rigadonna, and with me, as always,
Richie Byrne.
Your host, Sol Joel.
Well, you're the.
You're
producer.
Not the host. You're the producer.
See, now
producer,
I'm going to start.
All right. God, you know what? This is. Off to it. I'm sorry, Kevin. This is embarrassing.
We're not being professional.
Is this all staying on the podcast? All this?
Yeah, it'll stay.
All right, good.
But here, we always say we'll fix it in post, but we never do.
No post. That takes too much time.
So, So we do. We're supposed to do other things first and then introduce our guests, but it seems that never happens because
we
fuck up and then our guests talk. So the one, the only, the great.
Kevin Flynn.
Give it up for Kevin Flynn right here.
Thank you
for being here, brother.
For looking for another on. Kevin Flynn. Yeah. The only. great to be here, boys.
Thank you for being here.
Should be called Four Men in a Meat Locker.
Huh? Yeah, I know. I actually was in that movie.
Exactly.
So we just had a great weekend. Kevin headlined. Ballet
so we're not doing the drinking joke first?
How picky is he?
Okay, go ahead.
Am I being a bitch?
Just go, go.
All right, so before the show, we were at Duke's right up the street.
Yes, shout out again to Duke's.
Shout out to Duke's, named after my son.
Yes.
They take care of you guys?
Tomorrow we're going to eat at Axel's.
And, why are you giving Duke's a plug? Do they give you a free sandwich?
No, we just do it.
Come on, Duke's.
Yeah, I know.
Take care of the talent, man.
I know. Well, they didn't know who we were.
It's one of the fringe benefits of being a performer. You get taken care of once in a while.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
But I had, before the show, we had a Duke and Stormy. It's their take on a Dark and Stormy.
The boys at comics are boozing already, man.
Yeah.
just after noon. Yeah. I love it.
Not the producer.
This is the weekend for us, everybody. We're doing this on a Monday.
Yeah.
So.
This is, yes.
So that is a Cruisin' Rum. With a little ginger beer.
What is cruisin' rum?
It's they make it down.
Cruzan.
You go out and look for gay men in the park after you have two.
Kevin Spacey, Paging Kevin Spacey.
Found me.
Okay, so now.
I was just walking my dog.
Now the joke.
Now we need. So we start the show with talking about whatever we drank before the show. And then Richie tells a street joke.
Okay.
Because it's drinks, jokes, and storytelling.
Okay.
And then we'll get into your story.
Oh, drinks, jokes. That's why you guys are boozing early.
Yes.
Anything guys
yeah,
will
no,
do
that's
drink.
Why. That's,
which
that's
came
why.
First, the drinking problem or the podcast?
Mark,
I'm not sure which.
Hey, honey, I'm working.
How can I focus this energy?
Okay, so here's the joke. You ready?
Right.
It's, I think it sucks, but I mean, it made me laugh.
Okay.
All right. Did you hear about the guy with the five penises?
No.
His condom.
It's like a glove.
Yeah.
Kevin brings it. Kevin, you got a street joke that you can share with us?
Well, it's offensive, but we'll go. We're comics. What can we do? A guy walks into a 7-Eleven, and there's a guy standing behind the counter with a red dot in his head, and he's like mumbling. He's like, la-la-la-la-la-la. Guy goes, what are you, one of those Indians? He goes, no, I've been shot.
Totally stealing it.
We are off to a great start.
Yes, Kevin Flynn kicking it.
It's one of those things. Comics either love or hate hearing jokes after a show.
Well, this is the thing. We don't do jokes. We were basically storytelling. You're telling current events and things that are happening in your life, and that's how comedy is now. I think back in the old Borscht Belt days, it was joke after joke after joke. And other cultures are different as well. I came off a stage once, and I was with my daughter, and she was little, and I was on a cruise ship, and did the show the night before. It went really well. I'm sitting there having breakfast with my daughter. Guy comes up to me and goes, hey, you didn't tell any jokes last night, which is kind of like offensive in a way. You're kind of like, he goes, you were really great, but you didn't tell any jokes.
You were really great.
I loved you
introing us on who you are. But
your monologues.
No jokes.
Yeah, but I go, well, everybody tells jokes. I'm writing about my life experience and stuff. He goes, no, I enjoyed that. Yeah, it was just really different for me. Not used to that. He goes, I'm Polish, by the way. I'm from Canada. And he goes, I've heard every Polish joke
ever.
Canadian. Yeah, exactly. He goes, I'm Polish from Canada. He goes, so we're Polish. We like jokes. And he goes, plus I know every Polish joke anyway. So I go, I only know one Polish joke. And he goes, let's hear it. So I tell him this joke. It's the guy goes into a store, right? And he says, I'll have 1 pound of Polish ham, please. And the guy goes, you're Polish, aren't you? And he goes, why? Because I ordered a pound of Polish ham? He goes, man, if I came in here to order a pound of Genoa salami, would you say, oh, I must be Italian? If I came in here and ordered corned beef, would you go, oh, you must be Irish because you ordered corned beef. So why would you say I'm Polish? Because I came in here and ordered a pound of Polish ham. And the guy goes, well, because this is a hardware store, sir.
I heard Flip Wilson tell that.
Yeah.
Flip Wilson. Remember Flip? You guys are too young for Flip Wilson. So I'll give you a good one.
Listen, though. So the guy laughs. He goes, I never heard that before, which is surprising, right? Yeah. That's an old street joke. And I'm laughing. I'm like, oh, great. Well, the guy got a joke out of me. And I'm walking with my daughter. And my daughter starts looking at me. She's about 8 years old, 9 years old like this. And she goes, Dad, why did you do that? And I said, what, honey? She goes, why are you being mean to Polish people? And I'm like, wow. I said,
Have you met any?
I said, have you met any? I said, wow, honey, I wasn't being mean to Polish people. And she's like, Dad, you were. You were saying they were all dumb. And I'm like, this PC culture we're in. Finally, I'm like, she goes, is it kind of like people make fun of the Irish for drinking? I go, yes.
That's
yes.
it. You and we all laugh.
There you go.
Right. Did you hear about the Polish coyote?
No.
Chewed off 3 legs, still stuck in the trap.
Oh, my God.
All right, so there's more than one joke. We should have more than one drink. So.
Yeah.
Oh, I did.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been more than one drink. Trust me.
I don't think people realize comics on Monday. It's like a real come down day. Sunday and Monday.
It's today Monday?
Yeah, we're like hairdressers.
I only know because I watched football yesterday.
Yeah, then the weekend's a blur.
We had a great weekend.
I heard it was tremendous. I wish I was there.
We had Kevin down in Philadelphia. He headlined at the Valley Forge Casino, and then we had him in.
Shout out to the Valley Forge Casino.
That's a great room, man. That is a great room.
Thank you.
Fun.
Built and constructed like a real comedy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It really is.
Joel obviously books it like a real one because I was there.
Yeah. Like a genius.
And I wasn't. Yeah. So.
And then Saturday night we had him at the Harbor Square Theater in Stone Harbor, which I think. In some ways, has a very similarities between Nantucket.
Yeah, and apparently it's the high end area. Nice, you know, it's sort of they called it the Hamptons of the Philly area. Yeah, the Jersey Shore.
Where is Stone Harbor exactly?
It's the place that you and Keegan did over the last summer.
Oh, the theater. Okay. Oh yeah, it's beautiful down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd never been down there before.
Yeah.
Man, how much was he drinking after that show? That's what.
No, actually.
No, we drove back.
One has nothing to do with the other. That's his memory.
I should have taken my car. I didn't take my car this weekend, and I was a pain in the butt to everybody.
No, it would have been rough because in Philly, there's no parking. You would have to stow your car somewhere.
Yeah, or park it somewhere. Stow it. What is that about?
Stow it?
I might put it on a cargo ship.
Well, that would be easier to park on a cargo ship than in Philly.
Yeah. But then anyway, Joel gave me a ride back to Atlantic City. And going into Atlantic City in the bus station at midnight on a Saturday night, you're feeling like a winner. Getting there.
winner, chicken dinner.
And the bus was kind of empty, so that was good. But it was like 5 elderly Asian women coming back from losing their grandkids' inheritance, apparently, and two almost looking like homeless guys. And I'm thinking, you know, this is a good way to get some shut-eye and some warmth. Buy a ticket and just stay underneath the seats, go back and forth. They were actually lying on the floor, the two of them.
Are you serious?
Yeah, bus driver didn't care. He didn't know what was going on.
Wow. He was just happy they weren't smoking crack.
And we almost didn't make the bus because there was women just waiting for us as we were getting off the stage, like into the meet and greet. And the one lady couldn't wait to tell you that her brother lives on the Upper West Side and ended up being a couple blocks from where you lived. And she's like, he looks exactly like you, but redder hair. She goes, are you a real ginger? And it was like
I'd never been called a ginger ever. Two of my sisters are gingers.
Right.
And my pubic hair is ginger, but not my head.
That ginger beer.
Well, maybe she's seen your pubic hair.
Yeah. So she just goes.
Well, I open with it.
Yeah.
And he means on dating, not even his act.
No, that's not his act. No.
8 million people in New York City. She goes, do you know my brother? Looks just like you. Just red her hair.
Wouldn't have been weird if he did, though?
It would have been.
Yeah, then it's a story.
She said he was taller, though, too. That was a little dig.
Oh.
A little dig. Well, she goes, what are you, like 5'7"? I go, oh, man. man. You've already done damage.
Yeah, yeah. And her other friend turns back to back just to see.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm 5'9". And the hard part about I'm a little stocky, so people are like, think I'm shorter, but the damage
I
is
like
done.
You
like,
say
first of all,
shut up.
With three porkers.
Jesus.
You're an ex-pro
second of all, yeah, I've never thought of you as short or fat, or you've never been any of those things to me. I've thought of myself those ways, but I never thought of you that way.
Well, I weigh the most I've weighed ever, and I started to play soccer again the last couple of weeks, and you know, I weigh 178 right now.
Oh, my heavens.
And,
jeez,
I'm
you have mine.
Jeez, would you go to a
my leg
last
weighs
week?
178.
I haven't weighed 170 since junior high school.
No, 178. And,
senior.
But, so anyway, I was playing with the guys, and I'm like, you're basically carrying. So I played at 155. That was my weight at 155, which I stayed at for a long time. But if you have 20 extra pounds on you, and plus, I think people lift a little bit now more than they used to.
Yes.
You're really skinny up top. So, anyway, I pulled a hamstring. I like my neck.
Now, it's funny you say that because I played soccer for years, uh-huh. and I would love to go back and play in like an older league or whatever, but I am worried about because I do warm-up. I don't want to if I blow out a hamstring or something, now I can't. You know what I mean?
This I'm playing an indoor league, which is a little intense, but it's 30 and over. I'd like to go 50 and over or something.
Yeah.
Better. But
yeah.
You know who plays on Sundays is Tom Van Horn.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I knew that. He told
me. So
that.
He's been kicking it around for a while. Here's a quick story. A buddy of mine that I played professionally with was the head coach at Trinity, the prep school here in Manhattan. It was like 3 blocks from my house. He goes, will you come out, work with the guys? I go, yeah, but I can't be there all the time. I'm on the road. I have another guy who I can bring. He played high school soccer. So it's Tom Van Horn. So I bring Tom out, right?
I picture Tom smoking a cigarette with a
guy. I know, yeah. You do. No, like, he loves soccer. Kick. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't say he actually got in the games.
Yeah.
But, oh, but Van Horn's the best. He's hysterical. And so he starts playing with us, you know. And so this is maybe almost 10 years ago now. So he's playing with us. And he's getting like kind of getting into it. And I'm like, all right, take it easy, man. And he's like out there in jeans and, you know, white sneakers, you know, old white man sneakers. And my buddy and I do this way. He chases me for a ball and my buddy steps on it, just stops it. And Tom takes one step and sort of trips, but 6 steps he took to fall, landed on his stomach, slid about 30 feet.
Oh, no. No.
And he tries to get up, like, didn't hurt, you know. But it's in front of like 40 high school guys, and they're all like, whoa, man, that dude's never getting up.
Old dude fell.
And doesn't he have, like, no spleen or something? So, like, he's like, I'm worried about him because he hit the deck pretty hard, you know. I'm like, take it easy, because I never take it easy. I'm like, all right, well, you should.
And that, and that video has more YouTube hits than
exactly.
Comedy.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
So. You know, you were a tremendous soccer player.
So, my senior year, we won the state championship in soccer. And I missed.
The Cherry Hill, Philly area?
Morristown, yeah.
Yeah, right, great soccer there, man. Great soccer.
So, my senior year, throughout all growing up, the girls were always the best. And the boys always choked.
They still are. That's apropos to the national team, too, right now.
Oh, right. So, my senior year, we ended up winning the Group 2 state championship. And we played on AstroTurf. At the College of New Jersey, he's formerly Trenton State. Perfect pass. We're on local cable, and perfect pass.
So you must have been nervous.
Yeah, really nervous.
Local cable.
Yeah, local cable. Right. I was inside the 18. I had to do was put a knee on the ball, and it would have went right into the goal. I completely whiff and hit nothing.
Right.
The camera focuses on my face. You just hear me go, ah! And I slam my head. I could have went and chased the ball and gotten it, and probably still put it in the net. And the announcers are going, number 23, because it's like local, so they don't know us beforehand. They're like, 23, Joel Richardson. And like they said, they're like, ooh, looks like you want to get that one back.
Wow.
And like, they really dig into
it. Wow. And you're like, hey, I'm a kid.
Yeah. So my friend, every time I see his mom, she's like, oh, you're such a good guy. I wish you would have scored that goal. I'm like, do you want to send me?
Oh, my God. Really?
Joel, I wish you would have scored that goal. You would have lost your virginity so much earlier.
Instead of waiting to your mid-30s.
Her son took the time to take that video from VHS, put it onto his computer, and then upload it on YouTube, and it's there forever.
Wow. We have to.
It's called Joe Richardson Kneeball.
Yeah. And my friends always go, they're like, if anybody can endure that much disappointment, they're perfect for a career in stand-up
in show business.
Yeah.
Now, when I was in high school, I was playing, and
where'd you go to high school?
Martina Farrell on Staten Island, and who they're very known for football, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was captain of the soccer team, and
Rich, I didn't know this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And both goalies were sick, like with the flu, whatever the hell it was, right? So the coach goes, "We don't have any. You got to play goalie." And I'm like, "I really?" He goes, "You're the captain of the team. You got to play goalie. You got to show them, because no one wanted to play. I don't want to play." So I go in the net, and there's a play, whatever, and somehow the defender gets the ball on her, and I go, and he turns around, he passes the ball back to me, so yep. I can kick it out.
Right.
And he passes it, and I go like this. It goes right over my head. He scored a goal for the other team. And the coach goes, "I get him out. Get him."
That's actually not your fault. Because the back pass is supposed to be offside of the net. So you're not supposed to play it right back to the net.
I think it was my fault, because I said, "Pass it back." I think I told him to pass. And I think that was the whole point. The coach was like, "You don't ever do that. What do you think?" I'm like, "I don't play goal. I'm not a goalie." So he kicked it right. And I never moved. I just froze. So
my first college game, I was a freshman at the University of Massachusetts, and I started. I am just nervous I'm fired out of a cannon, you know. I'm playing in the midfield. I'm outside right midfielder. And we're playing UConn, who are defending national champions. And I just...
You played UMass, right?
I played at UMass, right. But I grew up in Connecticut. So I knew a lot of the guys, and the coach had recruited me, but not hard enough. And so it's a crazy story. But so I get in the game, and I'm starting, and I'm happy. Yeah, so I'm not trying to just play. I'm trying to play and assert myself as a freshman, which is always a mistake, you know. Yeah, it's like an opener, like the opener coming out and going, "I'm gonna make the headliner, not even be able to follow me." You know, it's like
he laid into that.
I've got the tightest 4 minutes ever. Watch this.
I'm gonna kill.
So I come out and I'm playing and I'm out and I'm still nervous. It's about the first 10 minutes in, and the ball is punted from their keeper, and I look over my shoulder and I run all the way back, about a little over half field. And they're charging at me, so I just one time it back to the keeper. So this is almost just over the half, a little bit. I look up, knock it. The keeper is on the top of his line, and the ball just goes over his head, slowly bounces into the net. That was my first game. That's my first 10 minutes.
Your first goal as a college one.
So it's a lot like when you were a feature.
Exactly.
You're like, "I'm gonna kill it."
But it was the goalie's fault. I can say back, and he's like, he's a Goldman Sachs partner now, living in London. So that pretty much was the end of his career.
Now, back in the '90s, I was in an acting class, and there were a lot of comics in the class, and there was
that's always fun, by the way.
Yeah, Gaffigan was in it, but there was a girl in the class. Heather Minier, who I kind of still see her around. And I was in love with her.
She hot?
To this day, she's just an actor.
She's usually an oxymoron, by the way. Kidding, everyone out there.
So really. So I think I only stayed in the class because I was trying to date or whatever. So I'm trying to impress
her. You didn't want to see Jabee. Or not to be.
I didn't. So I'm trying to impress her. It's a good Gaffigan. Well, whatever. We're out one night having drinks, and I tell her that when I was 16, I played semi-pro soccer for literally. I was on a team in Brooklyn with my brother. The guy had seen us, and they were gonna pay us like $25 a game, whatever it was. And I'm trying to impress.
Great soccer
her.
In Brooklyn, man. Yeah. The Oval.
Yeah, I forget the name of the team, but my dad. We went to one practice, and my dad was like, "These guys are all 25, 30 years old." My brother and I were 16 and 17, and none of them spoke English. So he was
What was the nationality of the team?
Well, mostly like
Greeks or Portuguese.
Something.
Italians.
I don't remember. It was a lot of. So he was like, "You guys aren't doing this. You're too young. I don't. Whatever." So, but I'm trying to impress this girl by telling her I played semi-pro soccer. Right?
Did it work?
Well, wait. So then a couple of days later, I'm in the class and I'm talking with Gary Valentine. Shout out to Gary Valentine. And I go, "I'm going to the Giants game this weekend." He goes, "Oh, yeah." I go, "Yeah." He goes, "What, did Heather get you the tickets?" I go, "No, I have family tickets. We have. Why would Heather get it?" He goes, "Oh, Dad played for the Giants for like 10 years.
Really?
I'm trying to impress this guy.
So now you want to date him.
I'm like, yeah. Randy Minier, he played for the Giants for like 5 years. And I was like, I go up to her, "You never told me your dad played for the Giants." She goes, "I don't really like to bring it up." I go, "I look like an asshole telling this story."
I was too nervous to say that he played for the Giants after you told me about your soccer career.
Well, you know, it's interesting, those ethnic clubs that are in New York, Boston, everywhere, Hartford, Connecticut. Like, what happened was all these immigrants would come over to the country, Italians, Portuguese, Greek, Germans, and these new immigrant kids would play for the German-Americans or the
I think it was
Greek
mostly
Americans.
Portuguese. Now, it's so long ago. But
so what happened is these immigrants stopped coming, you know, in the numbers that they used to come. Trump's working on that now as well, but to cut that number down, as is Cotton. But what happened is they ran out of ethnic players, so they started to recruit American guys. So for me, it was great in college. You know, I would make $325 on a Sunday to play for the Hartford Portuguese.
Wow.
And it would be – it was like culture shock.
He was
shock.
In blackface, though.
No, Portuguese are everything. Portuguese, like Americans. But so I go there, right? But
like it's Americans.
Yes. So you go there, and they
not
have a
anymore,
club.
By
and the bar raises money all week to pay for the team. So I was a center midfielder. I didn't score lots of goals, but I would do, you know, connect.
I played center midfield.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
So we got to get a comics team.
Defense and tackle.
Judah. So anyway, I play for this team. Get to experience Portuguese culture. It's great. But, you know, at halftime, all the guys with the white socks and shoes would come out and kick the ball around and everything. And they'd get so into it. So, and they'd fight in the stands. You know, people would be arguing. So one game I'm out there, and I'll say, we see something's happening. We're like, ooh, what's going on? And it's this guy, Joe, Big Joe, right? Big from the Waterbury Portuguese I was playing for at this time. And apparently, a guy pulls a gun in the stands, right? Pulls a gun in the stands. And this guy, and everybody starts to run. And Big Joe goes, oh, you want to shoot someone? Shoot me, motherfucker. Come on, shoot me. And the guy, like, is holding the gun. It starts to shake, and he drops the gun and runs, right? So Joe goes over and picks up the gun and goes, I shot that motherfucker, you know, puts it in his pocket. So then after the game, everybody's laughing. Everybody's back at the clubhouse, you know, drinking and eating.
Holy
they feed
shit.
You, right? And we're, you know, I'm with the team. The players are all eating in the back lounge, and the guys who, you know, run the club are in the front. All of a sudden we hear,
no.
Shot goes off.
In his pocket.
Everybody's like, is it retribution? Is it, you know,
shit.
They come back? Well, you know, what was happening? Like, I'm looking for the exit. I'm like, college senior, you know? I'm like, how would I explain this?
I can't be here.
I was in a speakeasy. I was in a
Portuguese speakeasy.
With $325 in my pocket.
Yeah.
It's crumpled up, wrinkled.
You're sweaty. You're sore.
Apparently, Joe was at the bar going, look at me. He had the gun out. And they're like, Joe, you did a good job. He's like, yeah, look at this. I showed that guy. He shoots the gun, aims it up in the ceiling, shoots it. He goes, he drops it. He goes, holy shit, I didn't know it was fucking loaded.
Are you kidding?
What?
Serious, yeah.
Oh,
shot the ceiling. Big Joe.
So he was that brave because he didn't believe.
He didn't think there was a bullet in there and somebody
so
shoot somebody over a
soccer
game.
Someone should have changed his name to Dumb Joe.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure Joe is no longer with us, I would imagine.
Wow.
I think he was a bookie.
Yeah, I'm sure he was a bookie.
Yeah.
Wow. Big Joe. Because really I was cool. Like, that's the most brave thing I've ever heard anyone do, but it turned out dumbest.
They were drinking earlier than you guys that day, I think. they were boozed up, liquor soaked, and getting ready for the game, and that happened. But it was great. I actually felt like, because I had a scholarship, so I didn't pay for school, and then I had like $325 a week. I felt like a rich kid.
That's really impressive.
For four months, I felt like I had money. I could take my girlfriend somewhere.
Yeah.
Because I'm a working class kid, so it was like sort of, had no money in my pocket, man.
Kids in college go out with
credit cards.
Yeah, they go out with $20 in their pocket.
I'm always impressed by athletes who played in college to that degree. I really, no matter what the sport, you just go, you have to be really good at it.
You got
to
be committed. And I say a lot of guys, what happens is, they get their, you know, they start, they're great their senior year in high school. They win a championship, a state championship or something. Then they get recruited. They come to college. Well, you come to college and you go to that first preseason. It's like people are whizzing by you. Everybody's so fast and fit that it's like you're in Nam. You're like, holy shit, you're looking for a rice paddy to dive under. And most people are intimidated. And I'd say a third get cut or quit the first week.
Yeah.
Because
well,
they just
that
can't
thing where you
deal.
Don't realize when you're in high school and you're the best kid on the team. Well, yeah, you're the best one on that team. And then you play other teams, and you usually can get matched. Sometimes you get matched with somebody who's not good. So you look like a star because you beat them every play. And
But in college, everybody's good.
Yeah, but in college, it's everybody's best player moves up.
But you also have to almost think like a high school freshman, because think about how far you came as a high school freshman to where you are as a senior in high school. It's a long journey. Mm-hmm. And you see a lot of guys start smoking pot and they drift off. A lot of guys booze too much. They like their girlfriend too much. They're not doing the work.
Those guys are known as Mark and Richie.
Richie, exactly. Well, this is kind of an intervention.
Wait, you said
I brought Kevin in.
You said college. I didn't do that, Ron.
Well, I always encourage young ones who are like getting cocky, you know, you're just beginning, man. And so, you know, if you're going to go to college, try to go to a college where the coach is recruiting you, because that's a big thing. And the other thing is hang in there, man. Hang in there. But make sure they cut you. Don't walk away because you're intimidated or anything, because people get hurt. And also, the speed slows down because you suddenly start to acclimate to it. You know, and it's you're like, okay, so after like
That's interesting. Yeah. I remember going to a Mets game years ago and sitting in the front row on the first base side, and sitting there, and you're literally like, this is the fastest I have ever seen anything move the ball, and I'm like, if this ball comes at me, I'm dead.
Right.
And I was thinking like, how did they catch my guess? It's the same process of they're better athletes than any, you know, they're physically gifted people, but there must be as you move up, so does your awareness and your ability.
Then it's athletic ability is one thing, and that's what everybody leans on in high school. The second is skill, which most people don't work on. If you're a good athlete and you work on your skills,
mm-hmm.
you can definitely go to the next level. And then the third part is sort of decision-making. So you have, whether it's baseball or basketball or any sport, the ability to make a decision quickly. You know, the ball's coming to you. If you look at, like, a soccer player and, you know, the Premier League that they show, guy's running back to the ball full speed. He knows where his options are as he's going. Most people would go receive the ball, try to settle it,
mm-hmm.
then look up. You don't have time, man.
Mm-hmm.
You always see them. They're looking over their shoulders as they're moving towards the ball at full speed. And then so everything happens at a really quick rate. But to step into that for the first time, you're kind of like, oh, I'll never be able to do this.
Right.
And I always tell the guy, hang in there. Everybody wants to quit.
Yeah,
you know,
I was all league, and it was
in football.
Football. I was a defensive tackle, and I was all league, and I made all Northern Ohio on the honorable mention.
This must have a temper, huh?
Yeah,
but he's like such a mellow dude.
Yeah.
I had a big life changing experience going from Ohio to New York at 17. Yeah. The world flipped. It was like, oh, you're not tough.
No, nobody's tough.
I lived on 40th and 8th, and it was still the 90s when, you know, it wasn't that friendly. I'm nobody in this this fucking island. It'll eat you alive. But it was all because I worked only on the skills. I wasn't physically
gifted. But linemen, that's a big thing, right? I mean, linemen are really smart. People don't realize that.
It got to a point where if you got down in a three-point stance, I could tell you what you were going to do. Looking at an offensive lineman, how their knuckles were placed, how their weight was shifted. Like, oh, he's pulling. He's going back in the past.
You're talking about football or after prom?
I was real good at that,
you know,
too.
But it's funny that it's interesting that you're saying this, because it's kind of true in comedy. Like, you see a guy will say to you, people tell me I'm funny. Yeah. And I'm like, it's a whole different beast.
And he probably is.
Yeah, I'm sure you're hilarious, you know. And I've seen guys where they get on stage, or young guys, and they die. Right. And I'll say to them, hang in there, because you have something.
Right.
There's something there. You just haven't put it all together yet, you know. And
haven't had their reps yet.
It's
interesting. I think it's a good thing to not do well when you first start.
Like,
it's almost like being a natural athlete. They don't work hard because it comes easy. So I think a lot of the guys who have sort of, you know, that don't have that stage kind of, you know, thing going, they had to work hard on jokes. I would say a guy like that is Gaffigan. You know, where Gaffigan came in, he probably certainly didn't blow the house doors down when he first started.
Right.
But here's a guy who's meticulous about sentence syntax and order and, you know. And then, you know, producers, all of us produce certain things. I mean, what a relief to have a guy who, I mean, anybody would book him now, my God, but he works his butt off, man.
Right.
It's like saying, with the skill, he had skill. And he worked hard, and I think in comedy we discount that too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We're all, you know, when I was young, I was just getting free booze and cute waitresses. It was like this job is great.
Right.
You're right.
I could use 401k and a dental plan. You know.
Yeah. I remember a few years ago. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I remember at Gotham when I was at Gotham, and Jim walked in, and there was a show, whatever, and they said this is only a few years ago.
Yeah.
And they said, Jim, we're so far behind. We have a second show. I don't know if we can get you on. And he said, well, is there anything going on downstairs? They have that little room downstairs that open micers pretty much. Said, right. And they said, yeah. He goes, well, can I go down there? That, and I looked at them and went, who am I
absolutely
to ever question what I'm doing in comedy when that guy's willing to go downstairs to that room and
in
get
Atlanta,
up on stage?
Bobcat Goldthwait finished his set and then asked the opening act, any open mics we can go to?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but you're also walking into an open mic as Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah, true. But still, the fact that like you're willing to just go,
Andy,
no, I have to perform.
Open mic.
Did he?
That was the
Bobcat.
Story. He got there and he goes, I'll host.
Andy who?
Bobcat.
Oh, Bobcat did,
hosted an open mic in Atlanta.
Well, he's
I believe
his
it.
Beef right now with what's going on, and I'm going to sound like an old man, but when I started in Boston, there was respect for your elders, meaning Don Gavin, Lenny Clark, Kenny Rogers, and Steve Sweeney. If they walked in, we were happy to watch them to come up, but you got bumped or bumped back. I have noticed that with the bringer culture, you know, bring, you know, 10 people and two drinks apiece. I mean, I didn't have that many friends back then.
I know.
God, I'd still be, you know, what, God knows what. But the attitude that the young people have, because it's sort of, they've watched so much comedy.
They're entitled.
They're entitled. Yeah. And I see a lot of guys trying to act like Louis C.K. And they're 22, they're 23 years old. It's like, dude, you haven't lived enough life to talk like that. I started with Louis. I watched him work his ass off over and over. And go
still
through
in
life.
Boston.
Yeah, and he's
like
still in Boston.
They go and they lean on the mic and they're like, what do I want to talk about? You're like, well, you got 5 minutes.
5 minutes,
you're
just got up there.
You're 20 years old. How tired are you?
Well, I said to a kid one night, I go, stop trying to be Dave Attell. You're not Dave Attell. They have a Dave Attell. And guess what? He's very good at being
Dave Attell.
You're not Dave Attell. Cut the shit.
Well, I like influences, but don't...
Oh, absolutely.
Don't act like you're Dave Attell.
Right.
You know,
find your
like
own voice.
I like these couple of people, but, you know, they come, oh, who's this? It's like, just a guy who's been on 25 years, done on television, and came before you, so...
Well, right. I was telling Richie and Mark that working with you 3 times last weekend, each night I saw something different. And I don't know why, but Saturday night you decided to tell stories about your grandmother. And I don't know if it was the audience or adapting to the crowd or something like that, but whatever it was, and those stories were hilarious. But I didn't hear them the other nights.
Well, I think good comics, not say that I'm good, but I'm saying comics.
Well, I love that he pointed at me and left Mark out.
No, meaning, no. I'm saying
no reason to point this way.
He wasn't pointing this way.
Sorry, I offended all three. In
one not me.
You got to read the room. You got to read the room. And I think that's another thing that, you know, I mean, when I was younger and doing colleges, I would come up there and I'd do my act, and all of a sudden you burn through 15 minutes really quickly. So I started to realize, oh, I got to open for myself. Hey, folks, how you doing? Great. Well, great to be here at school.
Right.
Easy commute. Ha, ha, ha. You know,
Ease
into it. And really, I was telling you the other night that one of the big things is to look at the audience and actually talk to people. And I think one thing that a lot of comics do is they get nervous and talk at the crowd and above the crowd.
Over them.
And that's really, it sounds cheap and it sounds like you're a hacky comic, even if you're not. You know, so it's sort of, you read that crowd, and that's kind of a Nantucket crowd. It was sort of upwardly mobile. And so I thought it was probably Irish and Italian, sort of well-to-do people that are there, even year-rounders. They were a little older.
Right.
So the crowd that we had done Friday night was younger, hipper. They're boozing more.
Yeah.
So you basically, you know, read the audience. And then you pick your F-bombs. I've noticed, like, that's another thing. People get nervous and start dropping F-bombs like crazy. It's like, I'm not a choir boy, but I, you know, after a while, somebody's opening for you, like, Falcon, you're like,
well, you don't know who's in the audience. And it's like, you know, you tell a street joke. Like, you'll tell the street joke different if you're talking to your buddies that you went to high school with, and then if you're telling your grandmother. It'll still be the same joke, but you're going to tell it a little different. So if you look in the crowd, you kind of might not want to be
the edgiest man in the world.
A perfect example of that is when you play to an older crowd, at least for me, like rather than say, so I was having sex, or you could say, I was making love.
Having relations.
They're okay with that. Right. Having relations. They're okay with, they know what it means.
Yeah.
But if you go, so I was banging this girl, they're going to be like, he's 30.
You know
he's
my 30. Clothes. But I think though, older people.
Well, they've heard it all.
If you watch them walk in, it'll screw you up mentally. You're like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to make any of these people laugh.
Yeah.
And then you do. But what I've noticed with older people, they count the F's.
Yeah.
The fucks. And that's sort of like, so you can do somewhat sexually, or talk about sex, like it's an oral sex joke that I tell about my grandmother.
Right.
You know?
Of course it is.
She was insatiable. No, she actually asked me what it meant once, and I was like, "Oh dear God, you know, help me." Now you're Irish, you know. Your parents from here, or
your
grandparents?
Yeah. Grandparents are from here too. Great grandparents.
You're lace curtain Irish.
So
he's a blue blood.
Yes,
but yeah, if it's the F bombs, because you know I've heard something. You said it 13 times. I'm like, well, I did an hour and 10 minutes, so it's not too bad. Right.
Yeah.
Some guys I know open up with that many.
Being on the producer side, I hear about it too.
Yeah, yeah.
That a lot of the comics don't. They're like, that was great, but I'm like, they tell me the real deal. Like, oh, but I didn't like this comic for that reason. And, you know, when you're not a billboard, you know, that people don't come
out. Well, if there's a billboard person, you can get off with anything because they blame the person. First of all, you know, Gaffigan or Lewis Black or Kathleen Madigan, they come out, walk out on stage. It's like, as a producer, you're like, I got him here. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
I remember Panette. I watched.
Oh, God, Panette. I started with him.
Gaffigan did like an X-rated set.
It'd be great, but with that voice, so I'm banging this girl.
Yeah,
you know, it'd be hysterical. But Panette would stick his head out the curtain while the MC was introducing. You're next, you know, because it was his crowd.
Yeah.
And as he's introducing, you're next, your headliner tonight, blah blah, and you just see his head come out, and the place would go berserk.
Well, because the whole curtain fell down. I started with Panette. My God.
I middled for him once, and the MC said to me. Said to Panette, "What do you want me to say?" And he goes, I don't do that.
He doesn't need to.
You don't have
audience.
To say. You don't. Yeah. I believe if you're really funny, you don't need credits. The guy goes, and then he turns. The guy looks at me. I go, I'm not John Panette. I'm giving you fucking credits.
I'm from Comedy Central. Like,
and Panette thought that was really funny.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We're good, right?
Yeah. We should wrap up. Kevin, can't thank you.
Thank you so much,
great guys. Yeah, man, great to be a part.
Really
of this
great.
Man.
I love the sports end of it. I love that we brought that kind of
I feel
dimension.
Like we're
into
just
it.
A bunch of dudes hanging.
It
wasn't.
It's what we go for
too,
here.
Too artsy.
Well, you and I are drunk, so it's good that Kevin could
exactly.
speak.
Exactly. Yeah. Just rarer than I'm not. So.
Last call.
Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.